Am I on? Coming through? I believe. Yeah. Hello, church.
Hello.
Well, somebody asked me yesterday if I was here for the first Sunday at the new place. I said, no, I wasn't. At first, I didn't know who he was, and he told me he was Jay Gaynor, so he would have knew what was taking place. Well, we were sharing at Schuylkill last Sunday, officiating at the Love Feast there, and had a good time of fellowship and worship and praise on the other side of the mountain. And it's certainly a beautiful time to go over there with the leaves changing and everything. It was very pretty. Okay, today, as we come to my assignment is to speak on the highlights of Jacob. Highlights of Jacob. What do you know about Jacob? This is for you to answer. What do you know about Jacob?
Wrestled with an angel.
Wrestled with an angel? 12
boys.
What?
12 boys?
What? He saw a ladder? What else? Angels going up, ascending and descending on that stairs or ladder, whatever it was. What else? Stole a birthright. Oh. Sounded to me like somebody was hungry and he thought he's going to die anyway, so he better eat, and he gave up. Oh. So whose character flaws are you most like in Isaac, Rebekah, Esau, and Jacob? Oh, I'm sorry, I wrote over your, what was your thought? Favored one son. Favored one son. It took a long time till that one son came along that he favored. Mm-hmm. What else did he do?
Got his name changed.
He had his name changed. And I just saw somebody wanted to change their age in their news recently. They changed their age. Anyway, so yeah, change. Mm-hmm. What else? Anything else?
A schemer.
Yes, he was a schemer. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There came a time when he started getting some of his own medicine back also. Okay, so let's take our time to look at this. And we're looking at chapters 28 of Genesis today, Genesis 28. And we're going to have the scripture read from Matthew 28, 1 to 9. Now we're moving through this pretty fast as we look at highlights. 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, and 34, and 35. What time is it? I don't even know. Okay, so at this time, could we have read for us Genesis 28, 1 to 9.
So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Paddan Aram to take a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman," and that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. Esau then realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father Isaac. So he went to Ishmael and married Methelath, the sister of and daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had.
Thank you. Thank you, And did you catch a pronunciation of Pandanaram? That was very good. Very good. Thank you for reading that. Thank you, praise team, for the songs that were played this morning and how the Holy Spirit brought that all together. I'm grateful for that, because as we go through this morning, we're going to see that many of the songs and the messages of the songs were shared with us. But we did talk a little bit about Jacob as he was being sent off here. Jacob was being sent off to go get a wife from his mother's brother, Laban. It was so convenient at that point in time, because we know the birthright was taken, and we know Esau's feelings toward his brother weren't very kind, even to the point of wanting to kill him. Do you know what? What we're talking about today is very relevant for the day and age in which we live. There are family settings where those things do take place, where those things are talked about. You wait till mom and dad are around, then I'm going to treat you so and so, or I'm going to do this or that. They are not the way God made it to be, but it's the way it is. So Esau hated his brother, and he was going to slay him. Now Isaac calls Jacob in to bless him, and he told him to go to his mother's brother. He says, "Arise and go," and he gives him a blessing. You know, as I'm here this morning, you people are very close to me this morning. You know, you're not way back there at that table that's way back. Okay, welcome. Glad to have you here. I can see the whites of your eyes better. It just, you know, hit me in a new setting here a little bit more. Thank you. So Isaac called Jacob, and he blessed him, told him to go. He said, "Rise," and he gave him a blessing. He gave him a blessing of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Numerous descendants were going to come through him. Also, he was going to bless him with a land, the land of Canaan. The world, the nations of the world will be blessed by you. We see also that, backing up a little bit to Esau here, Esau saw that his daddy didn't want Jacob to get a wife from Canaan. So Esau says, guess what? I'm going to Canaan. If daddy don't like that, I'm going to Canaan. I'm going to do exactly opposite what he wanted. Why did I say that? Because parental guidance has such an important place to play in the life of you and I. Some of us are in the point of still getting parental guidance, and some of us have gotten the parental guidance and are passing along to children and grandchildren. That guidance is very important. The wisdom and knowledge that parents have. Now, I know if you're from the age of 13 to about 20, you don't think your parents know anything. But when you come out at 20 or 21, you'll see that your parents know more than you realize. You will see that your parents also went through that stage in life, and you are now at another stage. Yes, parents have wisdom and knowledge that you don't understand as a child. So why does Isaac bless Jacob? There's a question for you, but I'm not expecting an answer. Why does Isaac bless Jacob, especially after Jacob's deception? So Jacob starts out, he's going from Beersheba in the Bible, and as we were there, Beersheba in Israel, he's heading up to another place. He's heading to Haran, which is in Turkey and Syria. It's a distance for us from Savannah, Georgia to Richmond, Virginia. Oh, wow. That's quite a journey. Okay, let's keep on this. So he leaves and he heads to the area of Luz. And there he's tired. It's nighttime. Here he is alone, afraid, tired, uncertain of what's going to take place. He lays down in the dirt, in the dust, it says. And he takes and finds a stone for a pillow. Now, it's amazing. There was an almond tree there that he laid under, and he got a stone for a pillow. And after being there, I can understand why he could easily find a stone. And he set this stone for his pillow. Now, when I think of using a stone for a pillow, I think of the cloisters, where in the cloisters they used blocks of wood for pillows. How many of you use a block of wood? I don't think any of you, right? Okay, so he's here, and he has a dream as he lays down. He couldn't sleep. That happens to some of us sometimes. We can't sleep. Thank you for the story from Grandma, great-grandma. I call retirement communities and nursing facilities prayer towers as they pray for their children, their grandchildren. What a blessing. Now, some of them cannot get down on their knees to pray anymore, but they can still pray. Thank you for those prayer warriors. He dreamed in the angel. He saw the angels ascending and descending up and down this stairway or ladder, whatever you want to call it, commuting between heaven and earth. It goes with the word of the Negro spiritual, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Every rung goes higher and higher. Is it possible to find a stairway to heaven in a terrible experience? Is it possible to find the stairway to heaven in a terrible experience? I'll let you ruminate in that for the week. Some of us look for a stairway to heaven at Saks Fifth Avenue in New York. Some may look to be driving a Mercedes-Benz or whatever expensive cars there are. Or maybe the next assignment that will make your career go to another step higher. Or to live in a penthouse apartment. Or you may be found at some club with flashing lights, expensive booze, loud music, or going in an alley to get another fix, to buy some drugs, or trying to conquer another computer game, or whatever else there are. We look in vain in so many ways. Try to finding those things that satisfy. Here we have Jacob. There, out in the desert area, Jacob had to start rebuilding his life from scratch. Can you think, you can think about this throughout this following week. Think what Jacob left. Think what he left. Think what he was going to inherit because he got the birthright, because he was hanging on his brother's heel, he was even coming out of the womb. Jacob started rebuilding his life from scratch. He didn't find the stairway he thought that he was scheming would bring him. He finds rather a desolate place. On the run in danger, alienated from family, uprooted from everything that mattered to him. In God's grace, he reveals himself in a dream. In a dream. Yes, what happened to Jacob here at Luz, or then he calls the place Bethel. That was just a plain old almond tree out in the dust. It was still a dusty, lonely outward circumstance. The outward circumstances hadn't changed, but his perception had changed. His mind, his heart had changed. So where is God's house? Where is God's house? Well, is it in this building here? Is it in the living room? Is it in a tent? Where is it? Or in a faraway land? In a desert wasteland, as we saw when we were over there in Israel this summer. The house of God is wherever God, in His grace, meets you and me. That's it. that place. And you might be thinking right now, there is a place that you had a meeting with God, or a place you will be meeting with God. Jacob says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Even in the New Testament, we see how Jesus used the story of Jacob at Bethel to describe himself. John 1, 49 to 51. Did I give that one out? Yeah, okay. John 1, 49 to 51.
Then Nathan declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
Thank you. Another one scripture there. So early next morning, he took his pillow and made a pillar. Pillow was down for his head, but then he took and he set the stone up. And he took and anointed the stone with oil. Now, be interesting, how light do you and I travel sometimes when we go someplace? Sometimes we travel pretty light, but he had oil with him, and I'm not sure what else. So let's go on further here, looking at verse 28 of chapter 28, verse 20. If God be with me, and I will keep. Yeah, I'll let you turn there. 28, verse 20. If God be with me, and shall keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. Of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. It's Jacob's vow. How many of you here have taken a vow? You can raise your hands high. How many of you have taken a vow? Yeah, thank you. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son, and do you receive and trust Him as your Savior and Lord? Will you turn away from all sin, and will you endeavor by God's grace to live according to the example and teaching of Jesus? Will you be loyal to the church, upholding it by your prayers, your presence, your substance, and your service? If you're a Christian and have been baptized, brethren, you have taken something in some of the words that might be a little different. How about those of you who are married? Did you take marriage vows? I think we did. Sure we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we took marriage vows. And you know, there may be other vows that you have taken. There's people that take vows that are not good vows. There's vows out there that are bad, that are not of God, and are not good ones at all. So we won't be going into that any deeper because we got to move along here. But we have Jacob on his way, on his journey from Beersheba up to Haran. So Jacob meets Laban and Rachel and Leah. He finally arrives there, and he arrives at a well. Why you go to a well? Because that was a meeting place. That was a meeting place. There was water there, and they had flocks. And they were there waiting. It's interesting. They were waiting for several shepherds, people, to get there so they could roll the stone away from the well, is my understanding. So along comes Jacob, and he asked, do you know Laban? And the person said, yes. Well, he said, he's doing well. And then along comes Rachel, and she comes to water the flock, and Jacob himself moves the stone away from the well. Read it. And he moves it away and waters the sheep. And while the sheep are being watered, Rachel and Jacob meet, and they lift up their voice, and they wept after he told them who he was. Jacob kissed her. And then she went and told Laban, who was here, his sister's son. So I'm going through this quickly. I'm going to serve you for Rachel for 7 years. And he said, well, it's better to give her to you than anyone else. And as he was serving for 7 years, any of you husbands serve for 7 years for your wife? And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. But then we know the trickery started in the custom. He couldn't have Rachel be the wife because the oldest had to be married first. So then we go into the story of that taking place and getting some of his own medicine back. And then after the time was fulfilled with Leah, then he did get Rachel. But then he had to work another 7 years for Rachel. And the whole relationship between Laban and Jacob was quite an interesting one. The family of Jacob started to grow through his wives, the concubines, and the maids that were there. A whole lot of family dynamics with all these children and the wives. And as Jesus was said, there was 12. It was Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. We know which one was the special one, and we know which one he loved also as much. So Jacob left Laban with all his flocks and herds and all the trickery that went on with raising sheep and doing stuff to sheep. They had it all down pat. So then we have Jacob coming back in chapters 32 and 33. Jacob is coming back, heading toward home. He's leaving Laban, and he left Laban again. Trickery. He left Laban out shearing sheep, and he took off. So Laban didn't know he left before 3 days was gone by. So Laban went after him. And there's a story behind that. But next, Jacob, we're on the way out now, way back with all his wives, children, and flocks. And Jacob sent messengers ahead. Oh, what was happening all these 20 years with Jacob? Do you think his mind was thinking about his deception, his deceivery, his trickery? You think that went through his head? I believe there were times that it did. Because we see here, as he's coming back, what does he do in order to get his brother's favor? Jacob sent messengers ahead to let his brother Esau know he was coming. He went to his brother, and now he's coming. But here Esau is also ready to come and meet him with 400 men. Oh, Jacob is sort of getting really concerned about this, to the point that he divides his peoples, his flocks, his herds, his camels into two bands. Even after 20 years, Jacob has to be dealing with this in his head. Yeah, concerned about it. But the messengers are to tell Esau this. Peaceful. He's with his uncle for 20 years. Then he wants to return home now. And the past action is no threat to Esau. He had wealth. Jacob was wealthy. It doesn't need anything from Esau. He's humble. He's coming humbly. This messenger are referred to Esau as his Lord. The messengers that Jacob is sending is coming and saying, his Lord. So you see this again. He's treating him as superior. But he had tricked Saul in his hand with the birthright and deceived to get the blessing. Healing. Jacob comes to seek Esau and to heal the rift between them that he thought was still there. How many times do we live in a way in which we think there's ill feelings, ill will, Well, maybe there's a time that we need to have a Jacob's experience in order to get that taken care of. And I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12, where we see Jacob's prayer. Genesis 32. Did I give that out? I'm not sure that I did. No. Genesis 32. Genesis 32, and I'm looking at verses 9 through 12. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which saith to me, unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will dwell with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all these mercies, his humility here, of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered and multiplied. So we see he was coming across, he prays and and Jacob is reminding God that he is returning. Why? He's returning because God told him to. God told him to. Not God knows that, but he's giving him this, telling him this instruction. He acknowledges, even here in this prayer, his own unworthiness for this. His own unworthiness. So there's been a change in this man, Jacob, hasn't it? Two things show up here, humility and thankfulness. He's asking for God's salvation and protection from Esau. And God prospers and makes him fruitful in his life. How about us? It is his faith that propped him up. What about you and I? Is our faith propping us up? Then he comes to the point of wrestling with God. The man wrestles till the daybreak. And we see it's a manifestation of God himself. And Hosea 12, verses 3 and 4 say that he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Verse 4, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. Then there he spake, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord in his memorial. Would God reveal himself as a wrestler? Isn't God gentle? Isn't God gentle and peaceful? Yes, he is. But we also know he's a God of vengeance in the Old and New Testament. And we also know that Jacob, through all this, was preparing a gift for Esau. He was preparing 550 animals for him, and he was sending them. This is all systematic how this guy was rigging this up in my mind. He sent them in companies so it looked like a bigger gift. 550 animals. You don't travel with 550 animals too quickly in my mind. So he had them in individual groups spaced without them. So the thought was, if he was angry when he encountered him, that by the time he received the fifth group of animals coming through, his anger would be abated. His anger would be ceased. Yeah. But what were they telling? They belong to your servant Jacob. These are the gifts sent to my lord Esau. And Jacob is coming behind us. Jacob is coming behind us. Let's look at this from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 16. Somebody have that one? I think I gave a paper out on that one. Ephesians 6, 10 through 16. Paul's referring to the spiritual conflict as wrestling.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we need to be armored. We need to have the change in our heart. Now, this here whole thing is symbolic and reality as this wrestling is going on. In the daytime, we are too busy to dwell all on our past at times. But you know, when we lay down at night, it gets quiet, and we're laying in bed, it's amazing what can go through our minds, what things have taken place. And at night, the worries can increase. We can agonize over problems. We can figure out how we're going to build projects the next day, carpentry-wise, or you might have some other things that are going through your head. Jacob had elements of deceit and trickery in his past. And I think some of the things were coming back at this point. It is symbolic, yes, but it's also physical. One can't spiritualize away the injury to his hip that he had when he was in combat, so to speak, with that angel as they were there. No one wanted to leave go because the one thought the other might get ahead of the other, and that's just thinking. They were just symbols of his encounter and humbling before God. They were physical remnants of the struggle. Physical remnants. You know, Jacob, with his deception, there was consequences that were going along, that were coming along with all that. And then he says, I will not leave you go unless you bless me. Jacob then realizes it's not human. It's not a human, but it is divine, a messenger who has power to bless him, to bless him. And he says, let me go for his daybreak. And then he says, what is your name? And he says, your name is going to be changed from Jacob, the surplanter, to Israel, the God wrestler, the one who met with God, because you struggle with God and with man. And he called this place Peniel, because in Hebrews it's men, I saw the face of God. I saw the face of God and lived. I saw the face of God and lived. You know that there that didn't happen, because when you saw God, there's many didn't live because of that. So Jacob returns to Bethel. God says, go back to Bethel, make an altar there. And on the way, he says, we're going to need to put away the strange gods that are among us. And he collected everything that was in the whole thing. And what did he do with it? He put it under an oak tree by Shechem. And as they were coming along, the terror of them coming through, the cities were scared of them. They were afraid of Jacob coming through. But he came to Luz, he came and built an altar, and now he changes the name from Bethel to El Bethel because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. God appeared and blessed Jacob again. Again, thy name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. And that's when Rachel died after she had hard labor here, and her soul departed, and she called her son Benaiah, Benoni, but the father called him named Benjamin. And again, Jacob set up a pillar. And he gets back to his parents, he gets back to Isaac, and at that point in time, Isaac's 180 years old. But Jacob got back home in peace, and then Isaac died. Through this whole thing, what do we see? Just as we were talking about this morning about praise and worship, we see Jacob on his way, how he worshiped God as he went from place to place. Yes, he wasn't a perfect man, but we see God used imperfect person to accomplish his purposes, and we praise God for that. You and I are imperfect people, but we have a God who sent Jesus Christ to die for my sins and for your sins. God is still waiting if you want to come to know him as Lord and Savior. He is waiting for you in the place of Bethel, that place where you can come and God's grace can come upon you and meet you there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you today thanking you for the opportunity of living to honor you. Father, you know my rough edges. You know my needs, and I just lay them before you. I do thank you for the life of Jacob. I thank you for the change. I thank you, Father, for the way in which you used him. Father, we just come praying now for each person here this morning, praying for your anointing to be upon us, to guide us. Thank you for this place where we can worship today. Come before you and praise you and glorify your name. I just come before you now, Father, praying for all the activities that are going to take place here in this place this week. I pray for your anointing upon the staff here, and upon all those individuals who are going to come in and out of those doors, these doors this week. I pray, Father, for your guidance and your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts as well as the hearts of those who are coming here. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. And let's sing "Jesus Loves Me" as we close.